that Dad has selected go along great with my lesson this morning, and thank you, Tucker, for what you read. This past week, I was in Florida at a crisis management and active assailant training. While going to this training, I had some downtime just before I flew out, and I got to speak with one of my teammates that I hadn't seen in a while. And I asked her how she was doing, and I was fully aware that she had recently lost a child, so I knew this was going to be a difficult discussion. I didn't know the details, but I knew she had lost her child. And she told me, she said, well, my son was premature by 30 days. And she said, but we had been assured that that was no problem. Babies are born all the time, 30 days premature. And she said, I knew things would be fine. And she proceeded to tell me that that baby boy had died at 41 days old. And that is the toughest 41 days of her life. I had met this coworker a year ago in Kansas City before she was pregnant at a security audit. And she had told me, I was just asking her a little bit about herself, and she told me that her and her husband were the youth leaders of their church. And that during this conversation, she told me, she says, she shared with me her faith and said, I love the Lord. That's what she said. When talking with her this past Friday, just before we got on the plane, she had mentioned that life had been extremely difficult. She said, I'd be lying to tell you that I'm not angry, that I'm not hurt, and that my strong relationship with God is not so strong right now. That's what she said. She began to question. She began to vent to me how this could happen. How could this happen to my family, she said. How could this happen to me who loves the Lord? She took me back all the way when she was a kid. She said, you know, I've been going to church since the doors opened. That's what she said. She said, if the doors were open, my family was there, and I've done the same for my family today. She told me that along the way that her and her husband knew that Jesus was going to save their son. And while listening to her, and I tried to do more listening than talking and comforting, I just couldn't help but think about the storms of life. This morning we're going to look at a short story that Tucker read to us, and really in John chapter 6, really just verses 15 through 21, but that's a great lead-in, so it's a perfect story. But read about how the disciples entered a storm and how they were troubled. I think we can all make a direct correlation of this story to the storms of life that each of us will face. These are storms that, if given the option, we would probably all rather avoid. But these are storms of life that are inevitable. Just as the disciples went through them, we will as well. There are storms that brew over our health, our relationships, our jobs, school, family, maybe it's your mental health, or ultimately, as she was telling me, it was the relationship with her God. This morning, I want us to focus on three things that will help us weather the storms. These three things I think we need to walk away with today. As Christians, we are not exempt from storms. We're not exempt. Number two, the certainty of storms. We should expect them. We know they're going to come. It shouldn't catch us off guard. Number three, the promise of His presence as He helps us deal with these storms. In this short passage here, verses 15 through 21, I won't read them again, but I think we get from this that as Christians, we're not exempt from these storms. Just because they were disciples didn't exempt them from the storm. We live in a world where there are many storms, both literal and figurative. You know, this Michelle, this coworker, she works on our insurance side, and she was, before this, was telling me about all the insurance claims that they were dealing with. Everything that was in California, everything that's been in Florida, fires, storms, hurricanes, tornadoes. And just, man, it's just so tough. These storms are both literal and figurative. Christians experience literal tornadoes and hurricanes. We talked a little bit about all these claims that come in, and we got sidetracked about, well, she knew some Christians that were impacted. She said, man, it was really tough on their family. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. These tornadoes and hurricanes will impact you, just like everyone else. Christians face storms, sickness, accidents, disappointments, and death, just like everyone else in the world. Paul certainly experienced the perils and storms of the shipwreck. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, tell us. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Certainty of storms. Jesus warned that we will experience tribulation just like his disciples did. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Paul warned his fellow disciples of these many tribulations. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3 and 12. All who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. I read these verses because there is certainty of storms. Peter tells us, don't be surprised. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange things happen to you. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's difficult to do. Life seems to be full of graduation. I was thinking about, she was telling me about her other young child. Just graduated from elementary. You know, we graduate from elementary, we graduate into junior high, we graduate high school, we can graduate college. You know, there's one thing you don't graduate from? You don't graduate from storms. You don't just say, well, whew, I've had that last storm, I'm done. If I were to ask Luanna, ask Dwayne, I could ask others that are getting older, have you graduated from storms? Are they done? Have you put them behind you? Dwayne shakes his head no. Luanna just went through a storm. It's good to see her with us. We don't graduate from these things. They're going to happen. We should expect them. James tells us here by using the word various. He says that various, the storms are going to come in various shapes and sizes. It's not only a guarantee that you and I are going to encounter storms, but we're going to experience different types of storms in life. Here we have the disciples who witness a miracle from Jesus, which is amazing. Tucker just read it to us. Amazing miracle. They just saw Jesus do this, do all of this, and then he has them get into the boat. When we walk through storms, what can begin to happen is that we start to question, why is this happening to us? Our questions can turn to fear, and our fear turns to doubt. As I was sitting there talking with her and listening, clearly, she was beginning to doubt. Matter of fact, probably long before our conversation, she was doubting. As we're in a storm, we begin to have a lot of questions that surface that we've never dealt with. You could tell she was absolutely shocked about what had happened to her. These questions can cause us to be afraid and doubt. We can begin to doubt God's purpose. We can begin to doubt His plan for us. And we can begin to doubt His power. All of those things can come into question. We start getting impatient. We start questioning some things about God we've never questioned before. The disciples were in the midst of the storm, and they were wondering if they thought maybe too highly of their God. Wondering if Jesus knows where they even are. Wondering if He can really see and know their situation. Where's He at? What's going on? And ultimately wondering, is He going to help us? The storms of life don't detract from God's power. They validate His power. Think about that. I'm going to say it again. The storms of life shouldn't detract from God's power. They should validate His power. God, the Father of the universe, that sends us into a storm, is able to work all things together for your good. Love this verse. That is power. God can not only allow you to walk into the storm, God can push you into the storm. And yet Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That means all things. That means there isn't one situation, one circumstance, or even one storm that God in His power is not able to work for your good. Storms may be certain, but what is more certain is that God is able to work in each of our lives and through each of our storms for the good. So difficult to see when you're in the moment. So difficult. I watched her who just within 30 days had lost her child. So difficult for her to understand that, for her to see that. Mark chapter 6, verse 45 says, immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He sent the multitude away. This verse tells us He made His disciples get into the boat. Do you think that He didn't know there was going to be a storm? Is that possible? Well, no, that's not possible. Jesus didn't just allow this situation and this storm. He made them get into the boat. He sent them straight into the storm. Well, that doesn't seem like Jesus. Why would He do that? You see, Jesus sent His closest friends and followers into the storm. Why? Because He desires to do things in their hearts and in their lives that inside of that storm may not have happened outside of that situation. Jesus knew exactly what His disciples needed, preparing them for work that they were getting ready to do. I have no doubt of that. There is not a scenario in your life and in my life that, as bad as it may seem, that God is not at work. We forget that. We forget that because it's taking too long. This is too painful. He's forgotten about me. He doesn't even know where I'm at. He doesn't know what I'm going through. Perhaps that is where God has you this morning. The winds are strong, the waves are high. We just sang about it. And in the midst of this storm, you have some questions. You might be wondering, where is God? Why is this happening? Why do I deserve this? What did I do? Why wasn't I given some advance warning? Michelle asked me why God... why God allowed her to get pregnant. She said, why would He allow me to get pregnant if He knew He was just going to take my baby? One of the things we learn from this passage is that storms of life are certain. Just because we know they're coming, that knowledge alone is not enough. That knowledge won't serve as a foundation to pass through the storm without being shaken, tossed to and fro. Jesus knows this. He moves to teaching the disciples and every one of us something that will help us navigate these storms, which is the promise of his presence. In case the disciples missed the message, Jesus came to them walking on water. Maybe they didn't get the message. I'll come up walking to them on water. Notice as he comes walking to them, their lives are in danger. The water is growing dangerous, and the wind, in Matthew says, it was contrary. Remember, just a couple hours earlier, there was a miracle performed, and there was no food to feed all the people, and Jesus provided for all of them, to the point there was leftovers. But you might be saying, yeah, well, Clayton, I'm in trouble now. The storm is happening right now. Have we forgotten that miracle we just read about? Had the disciples forgot what had just happened a couple hours before? Even though they saw what he did earlier for them, right now their lives are in danger. It didn't take long at all. They've already forgotten what they just witnessed. But Jesus came to them, and what did he say? It is I. Don't be afraid. The disciples recognize in that moment what Jesus was declaring. I'm going to change gears for just a minute. In Exodus chapter 3, the children of Israel, they're in slavery in Egypt, and they've been there for over 400 years. Moses sees a bush, it's on fire, and out of this bush, God begins to speak to them. I'm going to put it in my words, not his. He says, I see what is going on with my people. And Moses, you're going to ask Pharaoh to let my people go. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, says, But Moses said to God, Who am I that should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children out of Egypt? Verse 12. So God says, I will certainly be with you. What's God say to Moses in verse 14? I am who I am. I am who I am. Back to John chapter 6. Jesus, it is I, don't be afraid, is what he said. I think at this very moment, the disciples have to be thinking to themselves, possibly thinking about this story about Moses. Moses leading the children out of Egypt, and they get trapped by the Red Sea. We know the story well. They're going nowhere. There's nowhere to turn. The Egyptians are in hot pursuit. And think about what Jesus was saying to them when he said, It is I, don't be afraid. I believe that the God that delivered the people out of Egypt, the God that called Moses and equipped him to lead the people through the Red Sea, the God that parted those waters is saying, It's me. I am the God. You know, the upside to this is, no matter the storm that you're facing, the circumstances that you are in, if the God of the universe, who parted the Red Sea, who created this world, who did all of these things that we've read about, if that is the God in your boat, you're going to be just fine. If that's the God in your boat, you're going to be okay. It doesn't matter the storm that's brewing over you. It doesn't matter how dire our circumstances are. It doesn't matter how desperate things get. If the God of the universe is in your boat, it's going to be fine. That's what Jesus was affirming to his disciples. When you live for Jesus, he is enough for us. And he knows that what we need and that he will take care of us. Have you ever felt like the storms of life are about to overtake you? The waves are crashing and getting higher. The winds are getting stronger. Your back is against the wall. You notice how big of a deal that seems to you? You ever gone in for surgery and somebody says, Oh, that's minor surgery. Yeah, no problem. But it's my surgery. I'm going through that. Seems like a big surgery. But when you're going through it, oh, it's minor surgery. It'd be fine. Notice how different it can seem? Notice how my storm seems to be big? Oh, your storm, it's fine. That's not a big deal. You'll be just fine. Everything seems amplified. Everything gets blown up in our minds. You feel like you're alone. Jesus helps us deal with these storms. How? How does he help us? This is what I was trying to, at the very end, talk with her about. Our faith, his word, and prayer. And I think these are three things we have to remember. Through faith, during these storms, we're often afraid. We're afraid of perishing. Mark chapter 4, verse 38, "But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" That's what they're worried about. We're going to die. Jesus teaches us that fear is indicative of what? A lack of faith. It's okay to be fearful. But he reminds them, it's a lack of faith. Mark chapter 4, a little later there in verse 40, "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful?'" We're about to die. "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" he says. To overcome fear in storms, we need to grow in faith. Faith that God will protect us if it's his will. Psalms chapter 46. Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3. "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." Faith that God will deliver us into that heavenly city. Even if it is, we die. Psalms 46, 10 and 11. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is your refuge." That's comforting. Should be comforting to us all. Number two, through his word. Jesus' words prepare us to withstand the storms of life. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Kids, we sing about this. This is the song we sing about. "A wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." He also tells us to lay up treasures in heaven versus earth. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He tells us we need to seek the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus shares with us the secrets, if you will, to standing strong in these storms. They're not secrets. He tells us what we need to do to weather the storm. Through prayer, an anxious time, God offers peace to guard our hearts. We just talked about, and the kids and I were talking about, you can pray anywhere, at any time. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." isn't it nice to be able to go to him whenever, as many times as you want to? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's as comforting as we can get. Jesus stands ready to calm our hearts and our minds when facing these storms. Have you ever been in a storm longer than you wanted to? Has it ever lasted much longer than you thought it would last? Have you ever felt like, I just can't handle this anymore? Let's go back to our story in John chapter 6, verse 21. Immediately, it says, immediately the boat was at land where they were going. Jesus gets in the boat and immediately gets them to their destination. Some of us today are saying, I need to see the destination. I don't feel like I can see the end of this. I need resolution quickly. We need to know and be reminded that the God of the universe, if he's in our boat, we could be at our destination instantly. Just like in this story. He got in the boat safely, crossed the troublesome times. He's so powerful, he's able to bring that situation and your storm to a conclusion in just a moment. He knows where you are. He knows your destination. He knows our issues. He knows our needs. And he will get us to our destination. Do you have any doubt of that? Do you have any doubt that he will safely get us to our destination? The same destination, this is the beauty of this, that we all want to get to. Heaven. All of us. We have so many young kids, we're striving to make sure they make it to the destination. All of us care about all the kids here and each other. Do you have any doubt that he will see us through to our destination? In our minds, the future can seem uncertain. But the reality is, this story reminds us that he will be right there with us. He has never asked anything of his children to go it alone. He will be there with us. We should receive confidence from this. It comes from this story reminding us that regardless of the storm, God will go before us and he will be right beside us. We're not going to be on our own. We'll finish where we started. No matter what storm you're in today, he will deliver you. If we draw close to him, he's going to draw close to us. If there's one thing you get out of this lesson, it is you need him in your boat. We need him in our boat. He tells us when our storm comes, we will want him in our boat. I can tell you, I can't tell you when or what your storm will be, but I can tell you there's going to be storms in this life. And I can also tell you he will deliver us through those storms. If you haven't named him as your Lord and Savior, you have not placed him securely in your boat, there is no better time than to do that as we stand and sing.